This is CliffCentral.com. Morning, everybody. Monday morning. And we had another fumigation over the weekend. So there were, when I walked in this morning, there were cans of, what do you call that stuff? Poison? Lying around?
Bad news. That's what I call it.
Should I wash my hands?
Is it harmful to humans?
Of course it is. That's why they do it when you're not here. Yeah. If it was nice, they would be doing it right now.
Oh.
If it was nice.
Yeah, but come on, this fumigation thing, these cockroaches look at it and go, oh, odor cologne, here we come.
These cockroaches don't care.
They're pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, this is about the third fumigation, and they're still, I haven't seen one this morning, but you never know. Ben usually gets them near him.
Mm. Isn't it known that, like, cockroaches can survive, like, an atomic bomb attack or something?
So what do you think they care about dumb fumigation?
Nothing.
Right. Okay, well, we're back after a weekend. Anybody have anything exciting happen they want to share this morning?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. It was very eventful. Mm. So I emceed a Afrikaans golf day, basically, on Friday.
Is it only an Afrikaans thing? I mean,
Obviously, I'm English. So when I got booked, I said, look, I only speak English. It's like, yeah, cool, no worries. It was the law school Linwood. It was their charity fundraiser for their cricket academy. So it turns out this school beats like everyone in the country, and it's just excellence all over the place. And I played with the coaches, and the first two holes, I think we spoke English, and then from there it was mostly Afrikaans. And I've forgotten how much fun Afrikaans people are. Like, to play golf with these guys, it was such a joy the whole way through. And, you know, you drink beers, and somehow, like, these guys just know how to find brandy. I don't know if it's like a cultural thing, but the one dude hit his ball like a bit less, and he comes back and had a brandy and coke out of nowhere.
Pull at your bush.
But yeah, it was lots of fun. That was Friday, and
sounds good.
The prize giving went well. It was fun, and yeah, it was a really nice night.
Excellent.
So how did the conversation actually take place? Because you say you don't speak Afrikaans, but you now had to play golf with this guy.
Well,
were you just quoting from your favorite Afrikaans treffer?
No, see, I'm not a moron. I understand Afrikaans.
Hey,
I'm just
a moron.
Well, you can't just keep saying Macy Macy to someone.
Yeah. No, like pala, soccer pala.
Wow.
Yeah, so I understand the language. I just can't speak it very well. So, yeah. Carry on. I'll just respond in what I believe will be understandable from you.
Right. Well, I was in Durban on Friday and Saturday, and had a very good time there. I didn't see any evidence of flooding.
Oh,
I think they made it up.
Maybe not.
I don't know if it's a big deal.
How was your humanitarian trip?
Because, it was very good. Yeah, I rescued orphans and.
Oh.
You know, I managed to pull cars out of swamps.
Handed out tequila.
Absolutely.
As you promised.
Yes. Yeah, I had a very, very productive humanitarian philanthropic weekend.
Mm.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
It's the best.
Look, the UN must look at you.
I know. In fact, I've been offered a job at UNESCO. It starts next Thursday.
Oh, wow. As? What's your official designation?
I will be Angelina Jolie's 2IC. Oh. We will go. First place we're going to go is to the Sudan with George Clooney. And the three of us are going to go there and take a lot of selfies. And then hand out a bag of Mealy Meal. And then we'll come back.
Tons of selfies and a bag of Mealy Meal.
Sure. Okay. Isn't that what humanitarians do?
I don't know. You tell us, Mr. UNESCO.
Can you imagine? Imagine that's your job. Like Angelina Jolie's this. What is she? Again, she's a...
I think she is the Goodwill Ambassador.
Goodwill
Ambassador. UN Goodwill Ambassador.
A Goodwill Ambassador. And does she get paid for that?
I don't think so.
No, she raises pompous points, basically. It's like e-bucks for celebrity people. So you go and you attend these gala dinners.
Yeah.
And you get some sad saps who used to knock one off to her back in the days when she was in movies. And then they put like a million or two down because now they're in investment banking.
Yeah, and they can go like, and she'll meet them at their table.
And then someone puts on a heart-wrenching PowerPoint presentation of kids crying and flies and stuff. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, there we go. That's me for the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's all like recharged.
Yeah, I've done my bit for the world. Now I can sleep easy.
So heartless.
No, I don't think there's very much real altruism in the world. I mean,
I can tell you something for a fact. A friend of mine does a lot of this kind of stuff because he loves making films and he's a genuinely wonderful person. And he got invited to this really high profile thing in Monaco recently. I won't tell you the name mostly because I've forgotten it. But he sat around and it had to do with a very prominent South African family and it got to do with a charity organization. And just in passing conversation, someone who's very senior at this big charitable organization said, well, if we can just break even this year, it'll be a real plus. So they spent all this money in getting all these fancy people to a place to raise funds for us. Yeah. So-and-so. They actually don't raise money. It's one big look at my shiny humanitarian cock night. They don't actually raise a lot of money because they spend so much to have... They go to Monaco. I mean, why aren't they doing a charity gala at Elsie's River in Cape Town where there's no venue cost? No, they've got to be in Monaco on yachts. And they fly these bastards in on like these fancy jets. So that's where the money goes. But they all sit around and go, yeah, you know, we really are doing our bit for Africa. This is amazing.
Now they all get round the table and sing Kumbaya and then nothing gets done.
Exactly. Right. And they
you
bring
mean
in,
we are the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are the world. Yeah.
This is how a lot of it happens. And at the end, they go, oh, well, that was fun. Let's look at the next one.
Yeah, where are we going to do next year's? I think we should do it in that ice palace in Finland.
Let's go to Val d'Isère. So we're really high up and where the air is crisp. And we can think about those who lived low down where the air is dirty. This is how a lot of these things work.
Anyway, all right, enough of knocking the humanitarians. Thank God that there are people who care enough. I don't.
Yeah, look, some of them obviously are quite valid, but a lot of them... It's about the lit life.
I trust a lot of human beings, Ben.
Okay, so must I just ignore the, like, reality?
No, I mean, I thought it was fascinating what you just said about these people who say, well, if we break even, it's a plus.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice.
Raising the money, really for themselves. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so back to the weekend. Mm-hmm. It was mostly shitty weather, so really only, and it's always like this. You go somewhere nice, and then the weather is great on the day you have to leave. I don't know how that always seems to happen to me. And very, very nice. I just had a happy weekend. I was just, I was nice and chilled and, you know, got to kind of have some really interesting conversations and to spend a bit of time in Durban. It's just nice. It was really good.
Mm.
Saw a lot of friends. It was terrific.
When did you get back?
Yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. And then just saw the family last night. But no excitement of any kind of extraordinary kind. Amanda, how about you? You looked like you had a good weekend.
Nothing exciting at all.
Oh, God.
The most exciting thing is I went to a Holy Communion. That's
a communion?
Oh. Yeah.
You Catholic?
My family is, but I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Well, so I don't know.
Is that that's the whole where they give you the wine, but it's the blood of Christ. And
yeah, but I don't get to have, because I'm a bad bitch.
Oh, really?
Is that like a special part of the church? You turn left instead of right, or what?
No, yeah, and there's a sign that says bad bitches sit here.
No, there's like the signal, and then like they go. And
they all know what they're doing?
My brother and I are the only one that like who aren't part of it. Like my sister was having her communion and my nephew. So my grand's eyes were like gleaming. We were like, we're not the favorite anymore. Because now my sister's
the only one. So where do you guys go? Do you sit at the back of the church?
No, we sit like...
You sit with all the other people.
With them, but like on the end of the chair.
Yeah, and then they go up for communion and you don't.
Yeah, no.
God, they talk about an ultimate us and them. So, you can have the blood and body of Christ, but not you.
Yeah, so right? That was the most exciting part.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert, take your own hip flask of Tussies in there. It's the same thing, basically.
Well,
blood of Christ, as bought by the shop.
I'm always interested in how a lot of these people who do these religious rituals, like communion or whatever, they just know what to do. I mean, maybe they've been doing it since they were kids, but they know what to do. I went to a wedding once. It was a very like traditional Catholic wedding. I think they were Greek or Portuguese, or I can't remember. And then they went around, they had these things they had to do around the church. There were these stations of the cross or whatever. They
did water.
It might have been around Christmas time or something. I don't know. Anyway, there was stuff they all knew what to do. They were all like using the holy water and like blessing themselves. I don't know how it works, but it looked like everybody else knew exactly what to do.
And it's quite like a process. Like my sister would even look at me and she'd be like, kneel, sit, do, stand. Yeah. I was like, oh.
And then and have you noticed also they've got those the hymnals or the prayer books or whatever, and then people know where to turn and what to sing. I don't know what to do with that stuff. You know, Sia, it's hard for me. I'm in a foreign environment as it is. I'm lucky I didn't catch fire when I walked into the church, so I'm just counting my blessings on that front. Then I pick up one of these books and they say, they've got like the list up there and nobody knows. If you don't know, if you haven't been there before, you don't know what to do.
And it will be all quiet and then all of a sudden everyone will just say like, Lord, hear us, Lord, graciously hear us. And
what
I'm
is
like,
that
where did
all
you
about?
Get the cue for that? Like, I never got told to start talking.
Like, was there a signal? Did someone switch on a red light or a blue light or something so you knew what to say?
No.
They know what to do, huh?
It's interesting, though.
Now, I just, in those situations, you just keep quiet. That's the best way to kind of avoid, because if you don't say anything, it's not like they're going to pick out that Amanda's voice wasn't in the crowd. You know, how long did the whole thing take?
It started at 7 and I think we left there at like 8:30.
Oh.
Then we have to have tea and stuff with the priest or whatever.
Aye, aye, aye.
And then we went for lunch and it was cocktails there. It was great.
That's it.
I'm going to do something I haven't done in years this week. I'm going to go and see Evita at Monte Cassino.
Ooh.
I don't like musicals. I've had this discussion before. I really don't. But this one, apparently everybody's saying to me it's really good. And they invited me a couple of days ago. And you know when you're in a good mood and you accept an invitation?
Yeah.
And as you get closer to it, you're like, why did I say,
do you not
why did I say yes to this? I always have that guy. It's the opposite of FOMO. Remember we discussed it one morning. So I'm going to go and see that. I think it's on Thursday. But who knows? It might be fun. You know?
Might be like singing a hymn in church.
I know the music's pretty good because who doesn't know those songs? But I think it could be quite entertaining.
It's interesting because that was my entire childhood. Well, not Evita, but, you know, church, communion.
Yeah, you know all the secrets,
that
right?
That was my entire childhood up until I was like, 12 or 13. And I felt bad because I knew the ins and outs of the church from it. And when people used to go for communion, I was like, I'm actually kind of peckish. So, yes, I shall go up for that grape juice.
Oh, nice.
And that bit of bread because it was a long service.
And it was something to do, right?
Yeah.
It's more about keeping people busy. Otherwise, because if you just sit there for an hour, your ass gets numb and you get bored. And I think they make those chairs in churches uncomfortable on purpose, don't you think?
They do. And like the most exciting part out of the whole thing when sitting there is, you know, like on the floor they have, I don't know what it's called, where you kneel on it.
I think it's called
a pew or something.
Kneeler. Yeah.
And the most exciting part was when like the kids were tripping over that. That was it. That was it. And then
laughing at kids tripping in church, Amanda.
And my nephew was like having his first Holy Communion and he was yawning, looking everywhere. And I was just like, he's not serious about this.
Nah. You know? Kids don't care about that stuff. It's only when the adults tell them it's important that they go, oh, shit, sorry. You know, kids will laugh at anything that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get bored if something's boring. They don't hide anything. They're like Ben.
Yeah.
Ben's not capable of hiding any, like, his real emotions.
Ben's a big kid? Is that what you're saying?
He's just completely allergic to bullshit. And how about you, Mubs?
Very uneventful weekend.
Oh.
See ya.
Do you know what? When Mavale gives a one line
I
and
know.
Moves the next.
We're all suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big time.
I'm glad we've all caught on to this now.
Okay, what about you?
What did happen? Well, my whole entire plan of just staying indoors did not work out at all. because by like 12 midday on Saturday, I was like really like, okay, cool. That's
it. You get
it.
Bored.
Yeah, I was done. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially because I'm trying out this new thing of waking up diligently at 4:30 every single day. Including
even on the weekend?
Even on weekends. Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. What do you do at 4:30 on a Saturday?
That's the thing. Because I woke up at 4:30, I was like, okay, well, what do I do now? It's kind of
ridiculous. Tell you what you do at 4:30 on a Saturday. You go back to sleep.
Go back to bed. That was the key. No, I just sat around. And I really felt like a fat slob if I started just watching TV at that hour. And then I thought, well, you can't be sending out emails at like 4:30 in the morning.
So. Well, you could, except we'd all think you were insane.
Right, and everyone would be judging me. So that didn't work out at all. So I just went out with my friends Saturday afternoon. And like I don't know. I just feel like there were too many people around. I went out to the Rosebank area. There were just tons and tons and tons of people.
Yeah, I noticed there were a lot of people running around and doing stuff this weekend too. It's not the end of the month though, so you'd think. Yeah, and people spending money, man. Yeah. I was in restaurants in Durban in Umhlanga on Saturday, Friday and Saturday night. Mm. People were everywhere. People are spending money, so the economy's not as bad.
What's going on?
I mean, clearly, these places were full. The one place I walked in, and they couldn't give me a table. They were like, have you booked? I thought, what? It's a Saturday night, and it's not the end of the month, and it's not season, you know, in Durban yet for people to come down there on holiday or whatever.
We got to the conclusion that it's like, what, government employees get paid on the 15th of the month or something.
I don't know how it works.
But there were just tons of people.
Yeah.
And then that didn't work out because now I'm on, y'all, I don't know about you, but I'm on high alert for like masses of people because I don't trust nobody no more. So
well, did you see there was a Somalian like truck bombing?
See?
Another terrorist attack.
After like 3 hours, I was like, actually, I'd rather be a fat slob at home. I hiked up out of there, went back home, and that was it. I know, crowds scare me these days. It's not the most comforting.
You're Mr. Anxiety. We remember we compared you to Piglet from Winnie the Pooh.
It just takes one crazy person in the crowd.
On Saturday, I went to a place of crowds, and it was very nice. They did this thing at the Hyde Park rooftop.
Yeah. Wasn't a festival food?
Yeah, sure. It's one of those things where you go and everyone's got the exposed ankles again. And like, it's nice. It's all very nice. But again, you look around, it's like, everyone's loaded.
Yeah.
Or they have like 3 credit cards.
Yeah, they have 3 credit cards. I saw a thing on the news the other day about how the average South African owes something like 40,000 rand on their credit card.
Wow.
What?
The average?
Yeah, if they have a credit card. And that the higher your level of education, the less likely you are to end up with long-term debt. Now, it sounds fairly obvious, but...
Yeah.
This is where, you know, people get caught up with loan sharks and those kinds of things. And then they need the money now, so they borrow against their own future and then they can't pay it back. And it just bootstraps these people completely.
But then there's like proper slavery. So like this weekend we went out a lot more than like normal.
Yeah.
And you look around and you think, okay, so what you just said now, the average South African is 40,000 average, you can see it. Mm-hmm. But this is the lit life though, Gareth. You have to be out there.
What do you mean you can see it?
Well, people clearly living rather beyond their means with these things.
Oh, that's the key. Because I remember like when all of these financial updates come out and, you know, we've been, you know, this happens and that happens. I have not seen it. People are still going out there spending.
You don't see them holding back. Driving, I mean, the shopping malls are full, you know, and people are buying stuff. Not essentials.
Mm.
People are packed trolleys. Like I saw a family walk out of one shop and they had a trolley to the brim, like filled right up with stuff, food and like, you know, really nice food. It wasn't like they were skimping and saving. And I suppose, look, there are rich people. Maybe that was just a rich family.
Yeah, sure. But people are making money.
But there are so many people in South Africa right now who are living so far beyond their means. And they're doing it on borrowed money. They're borrowing against their own, I don't know, bond. They take out a bank loan. They go to a loan shark. It's tough out there, man. And if they carry on just, you know, you want to go out and have a meal. So you go out and have a meal and then you order wine. And you could see like people are just, they're trying to project the image of being okay and having cash. But a lot of them don't. I don't think a lot of people have money. It's not possible. You look at the stats, right?
Mm.
Anyway.
I don't
look,
get it.
I mean, if you had a good weekend, even if you did it with borrowed money, I'm happy for you. Yeah. You know, none of my business.
I hope it's worth it, though.
Yeah.
I hope that bottle of wine plus interest when you have to pay it back is worth it.
Jeez, I had the most incredible steak on Saturday night. I don't care about food usually. You know that. I have no... I'm not like very sophisticated.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what you keep saying, but you keep having these stories like, I had the most amazing insert food here.
Do you want to hear about it?
But I really have come to the conclusion you are a steak person.
Oh, big time. I won't. Red meat is straight from heaven. Come on, you know this. Chisanyama, people.
I had red meat 3 times this weekend.
Nice.
Well, at the golf day, your options were T-bone steak or T-bone steak. Seriously, you had like an entire dinner plate with a T-bone steak. Like,
would you like cholesterol and a side portion of cholesterol?
Could not get over it.
What is the term that they use when they don't overcook it?
Blue.
So I had one of those once. And this guy is pretty serious about his steaks. Like, he's a chef and everything.
Yeah.
And then I ended up being sick in the bathroom, but he never found out. I never told him because I felt like that would have been an insult. I can't do steak. Can't handle it.
No. Any steak or is just when it's really rare?
I don't get the whole steak thing.
Really, Mubs?
I don't get it.
I didn't know that. Maybe you're one of those people who just doesn't, the whole red meat thing is bad for your whole system.
It's bad for most of us. My buddy's just honest enough. It's really bad for pretty much all of us.
But I don't know so much.
No, look, there's a percentage of people who react really well for it.
No. If I don't have a little bit of red meat once a week, I'm not going to be a happy guy.
Yeah, but for a lot of people, it's also a status thing. Ah, there he is eating steak again.
No, I mean like I cook it on my own at home.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying like going back to the whole living in the debt thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. No, you're spot on. Anyway.
Yeah, so where did you have the steak?
It was at a place in Umhlanga. It was just, it's a new place that had opened up. And I just went in there and I ordered this. And it was perfect. It just tasted like heaven. It was phenomenal.
Mm.
And it was on the bone, right? Which is the best way to cook steak. Whatever they did to that thing in the kitchen, and I don't want to know. I'm going to go back there just for that. Yes. I wanted to say to everyone else, I wanted to call the whole restaurant to stand up and come and look.
And just sing hallelujah.
I wanted to say to them, you assholes, you're never going to know how great the greatest steak in the world is that I'm eating right now, because all of you, whatever you're having, it's rubbish by comparison.
The greatest steak of all.
And then Gareth Cliff was murdered by a vegan.
Yeah, can you imagine?
With a, ironically, steak knife.
All right, everybody, let's get stuck into some news. The 5 things that you need to know this morning. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They are 25 years old. Oh, I ate at Colcacchio's on Saturday, too.
I saw the pic.
Battle of the Salads, a San Siro salad that I had. Yes. Never go wrong. And what a journey they've been on. Just think about it. They started in 1992. You know what was happening then?
Oof. 25 years ago.
Bill Clinton became president of the United States. It was a leap year. Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone hit the big screen. Cartoon Network was launched. Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida.
Wow. Cape Town had water.
Cape Town used to have water in those days. A pizza cost 12 rand, one of their large size margaritas.
Wow. It's
12 rand.
Yeah. Prince Charles and Princess Di separated. And
well,
in South Africa, they had the referendum for political reforms to end apartheid and create a power-sharing multiracial government. You remember that. Mm. So much time has passed, but the craving is still the same. Colcacchio Pizzeria. They're the reason you crave pizza. What do you got for us, Mubs?
The death toll from Saturday's truck bomb blast in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, has surged to at least 276 people.
Ugh.
And around 300 others are also wounded. And, the bomb blast flattened nearby homes and businesses, and it turned vehicles into burnt wrecks. President Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed Farmajo on Sunday declared 3 days of national mourning following the attack.
Yep.
The president has also urged residents to help those affected by the attack. it has been described as the deadliest, most powerful incident to have rocked the nation recently. Oh. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack.
God, it's hectic, eh?
276 people.
That's awful.
And a further 300 wounded.
And what's the deal now? Do they think it's Al-Qaeda? Do they think it's... Who is it?
Well, nobody has claimed responsibility, Gareth, according to news reports. But, you know, Al-Shabaab, in alliance with Al-Qaeda, have carried out dozens of bombings in the past.
Remind me, Mubs, an Al-Shabaab, is that the thing with the stick, with the meat on it, and in between they got a bit of green pepper? Is that an Al-Shabaab?
No. No, Al-Shabaab is a lot less pleasant than what you're describing, Gareth. So they've carried out dozens of suicide bombings because they're trying to overthrow Somalia's internationally backed government. So, you know, people are looking at these groups first and thinking it's probably you guys, but officially nobody has claimed responsibility for this attack that took place over the weekend. It's just tragic.
Do you know, we've said it before. If you really feel very strongly about this stuff and you want to go into the afterlife, do it on your own.
Yeah.
You don't have to involve a whole lot of other people. You know, commit suicide. Do it in your own home. This is terrible. And you imagine families ripped apart by this. We know what the tragedy is that ensues after something like this happens. Almost 300 people. Jesus.
And can you imagine being one of the rescue workers who's pulling bodies from the rubble?
Ooh.
It's revolting. All right, what else?
All right, bringing it back home, Mango Airline flight crew are on strike as of today after negotiations collapsed. This is according to Trade Union Solidarity, who represent 95% of the pilots at Mango Airline. They met with Mango's management yesterday to try to reach a possible settlement in salary negotiations on behalf of their members, but they say that Mango officials were not interested, and as a result, their pilots have now gone on strike. According to Dion Reinecke, who is the Deputy General Secretary at Solidarity, he said, notwithstanding the reality that Mango pilots are paid significantly less than the industry standard, management showed no interest whatsoever to negotiate with its employees.
Why don't we be horrible, but aren't all the people at SAA and Mango lucky to still have jobs at all? I mean, didn't they very nearly all end up having to go and ask for jobs somewhere else because the whole thing would have closed down?
Had they not received that bailout?
Yeah, but that's what happens. They receive bailouts, so that's never going to happen.
Well, it looked like there wasn't a plan until the very last day. So it could have happened. You don't tell me people weren't nervous. Anyway, I didn't know Mango pilots got paid a lot less than everybody else.
That's according to Solidarity.
Well, be careful. Don't fly Mango then. They might be disgruntled. You don't know. The one thing you don't need is a disgruntled pilot. That would make me nervous. Pay them what they want. Right? You get onto a plane and you find out someone's a disgruntled pilot. You hear them come on the intercom and they're like this. They go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be your captain for this flight. And I'm very, very pissed off.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
That's not the case.
Yeah, I'm looking at the mountains now and thinking I really should just end it all. So we'll rose 15 to 23. Brace yourselves because you guys might make it. The rose before then, I'm afraid it's not going to be very good news.
What? What did this guy just say?
There won't be chicken or beef. I'm very disgruntled.
So we
see
wait.
Why I don't do crowds anymore. Yeah.
We wait to see how long the standoff will go on for, because this is exactly what it is. It's a standoff between management and the pilots. So we'll see who blinks first.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your flight this morning with Mango. If only they'd given me an extra 3,500 rand, I wouldn't be hurtling the plane towards the ground at breakneck speed. Thank you.
Okay. President Jacob Zuma has concluded a visit to Zambia, Nigeria, and the DRC. This was all to strengthen socio-economic relations as well as other cooperations.
Do you believe that?
Well, the journalists say it must be so. But on Saturday, the president was honored in Nigeria's Imo State with a giant statue that has been erected in the city, and a street has been named after him. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that outfit he was wearing?
That looked like you saw it from Charlie Sheen.
The ensemble.
Like Charlie Sheen's bathrobe from the 90s.
He was rocking that look. The state governor also conferred on the president the Imo Merit Award. It is the highest award in the state conferred on distinguished personalities who have made a difference in the development of other communities. Go, Jacobo!
So why did old Jacob get it then?
Because,
he hasn't done jack shit, but
still. Because Nigeria feel that he deserves it. How dare you?
Distinguished personalities who have made a difference in communities.
To themselves and their family. That's a special award.
Please go and look. If you haven't had a chance yet, I put it up on my Instagram, a picture of the president in this getup of his. Ooh, wow, what an outfit.
Yeah, it's a red ensemble.
It's amazing.
Complete with, I don't know what those hats are called.
It's like a fez, but it's taller than a fez. It's a bit floppy, you know? A big floppy red hat. He looks a bit like a Nigerian Santa Claus.
Although, you know what?
A Nigerian.
But that's exactly it. But maybe Nigeria just trolling him properly.
Yeah,
maybe. Jacob, you wear this.
Yeah, dress up like this, you fucking moron. All right, what else?
WWE has signed its first female performer from the Arab world.
Yeah.
This happened on Sunday.
Akbar, death to America.
Smashing cultural taboos at the US-based pageant that seeks to pile drive its way into lucrative foreign markets, because when it all comes down to it, it's all about the ka-ching. Shadia Bisseso, a Jordanian versed in jiu-jitsu. She is officially the first female performer from the Arab world to be signed by WWE. Now, female athletes, or rather women exercising in public, is rare in the Arab world.
They get beaten if they exercise in public.
Yeah, they can't show their udats like that.
Get beaten for a lot of things. And the local entertainment industry often relegates them to docile roles. So this is being seen as quite the big deal.
Good.
And Shadia says that, you know, for her, it's all about encouraging more Arab women to take up sports.
Right.
And to just stop caring, about the men.
I hope she does really well. I hope she gets some of those backward men who think women are second-class citizens in the ring. Just gives totally hands their ass to them. Wouldn't that be good?
I would like to see that.
You said WWE, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, she'll be cast as a villain.
Acting.
It's like she's excel because she really works hard in her craft.
All right.
This isn't a sport.
The shade of it all.
And then the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences have expelled producer Harvey Weinstein. The Academy said in a statement that its 54-member board of governors voted well in excess of the required 2/3 majority to immediately expel him from the Academy. The expulsion follows the allegations, of course, of sexual harassment by a number of actresses.
Are you happy about that?
What difference does it make?
They still have Roman Polanski there, though. He's still on the Academy.
And some people voted for him to stay.
Exactly. 54 members, but it was more than the 2/3 majority. And I saw Woody Allen also commenting about Harvey Weinstein, and people very quickly told him to take a seat.
Yeah.
Woody.
Yeah, Woody. Yeah.
Woody, we are looking at you. Forget. Yeah, no, please, Woody.
Woody Allen is married to his adopted stepdaughter.
There's some real, there's some real first grade,
nastiness.
Yeah. Anyway, so they've still got Roman Polanski and Woody Allen in there, but Harvey Weinstein has to go.
Mm.
I love the way Hollywood suddenly has standards.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't bother them before.
Please.
When it matters, Gareth, they have to be seen to be taking a stand.
Ah, you hit the nail on the head. Be seen to be.
Yep.
Right. Anything else?
That's it. More news after 7.
All right, let's check in with Ben, see what's going on in the sport. Ben, over to you.
Well, Bangladesh are pretty crap in the test series. In the ODIs, it said they'd be more competitive. Well, the Proteas just beat them by 10 wickets with 43 balls remaining. To their credit, Bangladesh did score 278 runs. Mushrafiq...
Mushrafiq.
He scored 100. And, well, the batting lineup, if it wasn't for Rabada being Rabada again, taking 4 wickets, maybe Bangladesh would have got more runs. Anyway, it was a great track to bat on, as shown by Quinton de Kock and Hashim Amla. They scored 282 together, just the two of them. Two South African guys took on the entire Bangladesh total. They had a great day out in Kimberley. Like I said, you have a great time in Kimberley.
That's some class.
De Kock finishing 168 not out and Amla with 110 not out. That is such a 6 of the best trousers down thrashing. Where did Bangladesh go from here? Well, probably home, because they've offered nothing on this tour. They really have. They've just shown there's no maturity in this team. There's no lack of... You can't be this crap. I mean, the Proteas are a one-day team. They are pretty good. Quinton de Kock, Hashim Amla, probably the greatest opening pair currently in international one-day cricket. But this is terrible, Bangladesh. This is just dreadful.
Poor Bangladesh. How did they get so crap? They weren't always totally crap.
No, the whole thing about Bangladesh is people have been giving lip service to this whole, oh, they're an emerging nation. Watch out for them through, like, in age group cricket.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing all right, and they're showing promise. But they go away from home and they're useless. So these guys, it's like, I don't know. It's frustrating me because this isn't doing the Proteas any good.
Wow.
Like this kind of stuff. It gives you an inflated self-worth. And the thing is, India is coming to SA. And they're not going to be this crap.
Right.
Right. Football. The MTN 8 Cup final took place over the weekend. A bit of a snore fest.
Oh. It
eventually went to penalties. And SuperSport United beat Cape Town City 4-2 in the penalties after it finished 1-1 in regulation time. But for more exciting football, Man City, these guys are good. They scored 7 goals. They beat Stoke 7-2. 7-2.
That's good.
Outrageous. Another outrageous result, Crystal Palace. 7 matches, 7 losses, 0 goals. Well, they beat Chelsea 2-1. Can you believe it? They beat Chelsea.
I could not believe it.
I couldn't believe it either, Gareth. Earlier in the day on Saturday, Liverpool drew 0-0 with Manchester United, which means Man City now take a bit of a lead at the top of the table. Spurs, they got a good win against Bournemouth. And Arsenal, well, they lost 2-1 to Watford. 2-1. Ugh. Wayne Rooney managed to salvage a draw for Everton against Brighton Hove's Albion. Mm-hmm. And then Southampton Newcastle also drawing 2-2. Into the rugby, the Currie Cup has been decided, the playoff that is. Province got a very good win against the Sharks in Durban, which ended their unbeaten run for the Sharks, 30-22. And then the Cheetahs, well, they were always going to run out of steam because basically they're playing two tournaments at the moment. And the Golden Lions, they beat them 44-17. So, your weekend fixture list for this weekend will be the Currie Cup semi-finals. The Blue Bulls will take on the Sharks, that'll be in Durban. And then Western Province will host the Golden Lions. So, look, it's the Sharks' thing to win. Because that's what happens to the Currie Cup. You get one dominant team that goes throughout the tournament. Last year, it was the Cheetahs. This year, it'll be the Sharks. Inside track to win that one. In tennis news, Sharapova won something.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did she win?
She won the...
A watch contract.
The Tianjin Open. Anyone know what Tianjin is? Tianjin?
China. Somewhere in China.
Look, I'm not going to click on the story and really read it because, I mean, who cares about Sharapova? But she won something.
Yeah.
I suppose that's...
That's good. The 17 remaining fans of hers, they lost their nuts over the weekend
and
about this.
And then she didn't cheat to win this time, right?
It's in Tianjin. I mean, I don't know. Is it astringent with all the drug testing? But Roger Federer, in actual proper big tennis, he beat Rafael Nadal in the Shanghai Masters. So Federer, older than me, just keeps on going. So if he wins again, or if he finishes the year stronger than Nadal, he could be the world number one by end of the year. This is a guy who was so old, and then he won the Australian Open. And everyone's like, oh, look at this. He's dialing back the clock. He then wins Wimbledon. And he's just still the real deal. I mean, he's as good as he's ever been at the age of 700. He's just so old, but he's doing so well.
That's terrific. Good yeah. for him. Keep it going.
In golf news, Tyrrell Hatton won again. That's back-to-back wins. He won the Afternoon Links Championship, and then he won the Italian Open this weekend. Absolutely incredible. And then Pat Perez, another old guy. He won the CIMB Masters in Malaysia.
What's that?
It's the PGA Tour, which is American. They've realized they've got to go outside of America eventually. So they played in Malaysia last weekend. This week they're playing in Korea.
Uh-huh.
And Pat Perez, who's now like 44 or something really old, he won. It's amazing, these old guys. They get this new technology. They get younger girlfriends. Old. And then before you know it...
Do you know how old your friend Gary Player is?
Well, he's timeless, Gareth.
Oh.
And you'd do well to stop forgetting that.
There's that objectivity going out the window.
Timeless, he says.
Yeah, I present the facts here on the sports, and that was pretty much the weekend. There okay. was MotoGP, which is always exciting if you like MotoGP. but yeah, look, the box, they'll be playing next month. That's it. That really was it.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. We're going to turn our attention now to Anthea Gardner. And people miss Anthea because she's not here every day anymore. But it means you get a big dose on a Monday. So you must be glad for what you get here. I mean, you know, it could always be worse. Could always be less. Plus, she's got things to do. She can't be here every morning. She's watching the markets. Do you know how much work that is? Yeah, how hard it is for Anthea to keep up with all of these things that are going on. Let's get to her right now. Time for the theme music, everybody. Are you ready?
She works hard for the money.
Yes.
So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Yeah.
She works hard for the money.
Yeah.
So hard for it, honey.
Yeah.
She works hard for the money, so you better
treat
her right. Yeah. All right, Anthea. Hey, good morning. How are you? How are you doing this morning? It's nice to see you.
I am very good. Thank you very much. Yes, it's great to be here. I'd miss you guys during the week, actually.
I know.
It's quite odd. Oh, dear.
We'll make it.
Tears to my
sorry.
Right.
Okay.
And Anthea regrets saying that instantly.
I wasn't going to say that. But I do have more good news.
What's the good news?
The all-share index last week was up 1%, which doesn't seem a lot, but in the last 2 weeks, the index is up 3.5%. I think we've had 9 consecutive positive days in the last 10 days. So
awesome.
We've had one negative day, basically. That's what I'm saying. And then on top of that, the Rand has been equally strong, especially, it seemed, after the Supreme Court-backed reinstating President Jacob Zuma's charges. Now, I'm not sure those 783 are charges, but like they're 18 charges or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'm not going to get into that. The Rand, 13.26 against the dollar, 15.68 against the euro, 17.77 against the pound. So still quite weak against the pound, which is making a bit of a comeback. And then in the financial shares, the JSE was up, the JSE share, not the overall exchange, was up 2.6%. On Friday, which made the gain for the week 11%, which is good because it has languished a bit in recent times. You know, volumes have been really low this year. I don't know. There's just not that much conviction in the market. Banks were generally mixed. Standard Bank was up 2%, and then Capitec up 1.3% on Friday, hit another lifetime high of 938 Rand per share. This bank really is taking over. I mean, you already know it's now one of the top 4 banks in the country, knocking Nedbank out of that little elite group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it just keeps on going. Resources as well, having a spectacular run. Anglo American is at a 2-year high. Year to date, the share is up 32%. And guess what? Since January of 2016, of last year, the share is up over 300%. How glad are you that you hold that share in our portfolios?
Wow.
I know. I think all of this really is on the back of global demand. In fact, I'm going to jump around, sorry, but we had manufacturing output last week, which rose by a surprise 1.5% year on year. We were expecting a contraction of 0.5%. And basically, the iron and steel division was actually what maintained this positive, or this growth, I should say. And really, I do think it's on the back of global demand. I'm not sure it's anything we're doing, right? Because manufacturing production actually contracted by 1.2% year on year for the first 8 months of the year. So at least a bit of positive news in manufacturing output there. And then back to the market, because I have to tell you that on Friday, the dual listeds obviously had a They're probably holding our market back a bit because of the stronger rand, but Naspers closed exactly on the dot, 3,200 rand a share on Friday. I mean, it is spectacular. It's just, we love that share, don't we?
Aren't we getting nervous, though, that it's reaching a ceiling?
Aren't we excited that it might go to 3,500?
I mean, obviously. But when do we sell?
When we get some bad news from Tencent, when we get some bad news from them. I mean, it hasn't all been great news, you know. No. They are, you know the story of the rump of the business kind of not making money, whereas the Tencent business is undervalued. You know, yes. It's trading at a discount to just its Tencent share. So if you just took Tencent, it would be I think it was 3,600 rand a share. Mm-hmm. So you take out all the other businesses. So basically you're discounting all those other small businesses. And what they're actually doing is that they're selling off little bits of that business and realizing profits that kind of, because obviously you invest and you don't realize profits until you sell.
Absolutely.
Unless, of course, it's a big cash cow.
Right.
Which none of them have been, unfortunately. And then British America. So to answer your question, I'll let you know.
Okay.
You're good with that, right?
Of course I trust you on this one, yeah.
And then British American Tobacco was down 5%. And this was a bit disappointing because last week South Korea agreed for a special consumption tax for the, you know, these heat not burn cigarettes we always talk about. And actually what it will do, it will add, it is basically 40% lower than cigarettes, normal cigarettes, which implies a 2.3 times higher revenue per packet of these heat not burn, which is great. And it sounds like South Korea, who cares? But actually, I think what we're going to see is the UK, Europe, and Japan following suit and lowering taxes on the heat not burn compared to, or offering some sort of tax rebate or something.
So that would be good for the business.
Absolutely. And you know, we've spoken before about Philip Morris. If you just go to the Philip Morris website, I mean, their tagline is something like working towards a smoke-free society. I mean, a cigarette company that says that, it blows my mind. It's fantastic, actually. And then in company news, PPC, the saga continues, I'm afraid. The shares up 10% in the last 5 trading days. Aren't you glad you own that share as well?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just like, I don't know how far back I have to take you on this, but 2013, you know, I loved the share. They were talking about expanding into Africa. They were building cement plants in the DRC, in Ethiopia, and somewhere else. I think it was in the Maghreb region. And they were getting double the margins they were getting in South Africa. Then suddenly 2014, March, Kitso Gordon resigned, and the share price just has not recovered. Last year, or was it this year, beginning of this year, they had to do a rights issue because they breached their loan covenants. They had to raise capital. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, Fairfax came out and said that they would make a bid for the company on behalf of, or in tandem with AfriSam, which is also a local cement player, at 5.75 a share for PPC. The share is now trading at 6.83. Now, this is just a bizarre thing, because what's happening is that the market is speculating that a higher bidder will come in, except what we saw last week was that Dangote had said he was going to bid for PPC, and then last week withdrew his bid.
Right.
So the share should have plummeted, but it didn't. A company called a hedge fund called Value Capital Partners announced last week that they now hold over 5% of the company, which is a humongous bet for a small hedge fund, because PPC's market cap is 10.9 billion rand.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they doing it, right? Like, if it's trading at 6.83, it's underpinned by this bid of 5.75. You'd almost think that, well, it's 5.75, right? Like, why is it going to 6.83? So I'm guessing that they think Lafarge Holcim are still going to come in and bid up. Maybe they think it's a 7 rand share. It's a funny thing, because if you read the press, you'll see that the CEO of AfriSam is going, no, PPC is not valued at more than 5.75 a share.
Mm.
The CEO or executives of PPC are saying, no, we're valued at far higher than that. You should give us, you should pay more for our shares. The shareholders are declining the 5.75. So where it ends is anyone's guess.
Do you think it's worth speculating here?
Well, we already own the share.
Mm.
My question is, this is the real question. Should I be selling? Should I be taking profit? No one ever went broke taking a profit, right?
No.
So we debate this in the office almost every day. And Henry, so you know Henry, right? He sits opposite me and he's going, no, don't sell. It's a 7 Rand, maybe even a 7 Rand 50 share. I'm going, hey, I bought it below 6 Rand. I'm okay with this. We'll see. It's going to be telling this week.
This is why Anthea's busy, everybody. This is the stuff that keeps her up at night.
Oh, absolutely the stuff that keeps me up.
And then I'm glad that you wanted to talk about PSG. Can we just talk about them quickly? Because PSG, I mean, that's delivered really nicely as well.
Very consistent. Another share we own.
Uh-huh.
So they put out their 6 month results last week. The share was up about 3%. Sum of the parts value 260, 232 is what they're saying. And actually, it's trading at about a 3% discount. Mm. So that's really difficult because there's not much in it, right?
Yeah.
They've upped their interim dividend to 1.38 per share. We like getting cash, so we're happy about that. Their 5-year compound annual growth rate, including the share price, is over 30%. And this is where I get nervous because I know it's a nice steady eddy, I call it. But there's nothing in it. There's nothing tangible. The thing is, and they haven't given us enough kind of to go with, you know. So their Zeda Holdings really underperformed, kind of their agricultural business underperformed. Mm-hmm. But they're such a nice diversified company at the moment that everything else did okay. So it's another one I need to make a decision about.
You'll let us know.
Indeed. I'll just trade and then I'll let you know.
All right, let's talk about paper.
Mondi. Yes, let's talk about paper because Mondi put out their third quarter results. Now, just because it's dual listed, in South Africa, we only report twice a year. But if you're dual listed, like Anglos and Mondis and all those, you have to report quarterly. We saw an 8% rise in underlying operating profit for the quarter. But for the 9 months to end of September, operating profits actually down 1%. And there's a couple of issues here. Cost pressures are definitely it. So you're looking at inflationary input costs, so wood, energy, chemical, all kind of putting a pressure on the margin. And then they've had maintenance shutdowns, which has reduced operating profit by 30 million euros for the quarter. If I extrapolate it, I'm looking at 90 million euros for the full year, which, to give you some perspective, is humongous considering that in 2016, their maintenance shutdowns cost them 35 million euros. So 3 times as much this year. The thing with Mondi, though, is that in this industry, the management are saying that valuations are stretched. So they're not looking to do any mergers and acquisitions. Like they're not at these prices, they're saying, anyway. They've had some strong growth in Eastern Europe. They've managed to delever their balance sheet quite nicely, and this is where it becomes interesting, because at a 12-month forward, it's on a 14.5 price-earnings ratio, which is really not attractive. But because of this delevering of the balance sheet, in fact, it looks like they could pay us a special dividend at the end of the year.
We never complain about that.
Exactly. But now we're not sure, right? Like there's no certainty. And the end of the year is December, so they'll only report in February. So we've got some time to decide whether or not we want to buy this share. I did hold the share at some time for a couple of weeks during the year and then got rid of it. And now thinking whether I should buy it again. It's the story of my life. buy, sell.
It is so tough being Anthea. All right, cool.
All right.
Sun International.
Do you want to talk about Sun? Oh, we need to talk about Sun International because I think at the beginning of the year, I loved this share, right? They were opening Menlyn Main and they were adding huge amounts to their earnings base. I think it was like Menlyn Main was going to add 1 Rand just to their earnings alone, which would have given me, I don't know, 100 Rand share or 112 Rand share. I worked it out. It's currently a 50 Rand share. What went wrong? Anyway, they announced last week on Friday that they're acquiring resorts in Peru called Thunderbird Resorts. They own 4 gaming operations. They're paying $26 million for it. They paid 17 times earnings, so not cheap. It's slightly earnings accretive at about 5%. We're looking on for a return of equity of 6%. But the problem with Sun International is that they've got this dreams business in Latin America, which they haven't quite nailed down yet. You know, they haven't quite done that much. It's kind of... They've had a tough time with inconsistent regulatory environment, strange town planning issues, what they call mob-style collusion between local casinos and local banks.
Yeah.
So should they have bought this Thunderbird Resorts? I'm not sure. So yeah, so Sun International, I'm afraid, has been our big disappointment, my big disappointment this year. Where to from here is the question. I think, I thought they might have to do a capital raise and a rights issue, but I think probably not now. If they needed to, I can't imagine they would have used, they would have gone and bought out these resorts, and maybe they'll use their South American balance sheet instead of their local balance sheet. I'm hoping, anyway.
All right. What about Outsurance? Their CEO and founder
has resigned. Yeah. So Willem Roos resigned. He'll leave at the end of December. It's quite a shock. I mean, I think Outsurance went out of their way to say, don't worry, it's fine. You know, the culture of the company is still intact. Management are really good. But Willem Roos really was the innovator, the guy who was going to do it all. And he's now joining, wait for it, Michael Jordaan and Paul Harris. So you know Michael Jordaan from First National Bank. He's gone on foot and lived in Stellenbosch and is doing all sorts of fun and interesting,
yeah,
innovative
wines
things.
And all kinds of things, yeah.
And lots of tech stuff. Eh? He's like a tech incubator. And Paul Harris from First Rand or
right.
R&B. And they're starting up a broadband network of 4G plus and LTE advanced technology. So watch out, MTN, Cell C, Vodacom. Here they come.
Oh, that could be interesting.
I think it's going to be very interesting. I mean, it's a shame for Outsurance. I think it will impact quite negatively. And you know, we can't get access to Outsurance directly through the stock market. We have to go through RMI. And this is not RMI's first big loss. In fact, Chris Mayer, who was also one of the top executives who I used to work with, left and is going off to Australia, I believe. So they've had two big executives leave in a very short space of time, and I think it's a shame, and I think it will impact negatively on the share. It's a share I do like still. Difficult one to call, you know. What do we do? I think I'm going to hold on to my RMIs actually. And then if Rain comes to market, this is what the company, this is the Willem Roos's company, or Paul Harris, Michael Jordaan, Willem Roos. It's called Rain Mobile, so watch out for them. And if they come to market, I think I would bet on that management team. Eh?
I think they sound very experienced, sound smart. All right, cool. Thanks, Anthea.
My pleasure.
So lots to
guys.
Think about this morning, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Indeed. Have a good week.
All right, very good. Remember, you can always get yourself a refresher course by going to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com, and you can hear anything that you might have missed this morning with Anthea at any time you need it. That's the nice thing about podcasts, is that they can go and fit in with your life. Sia, what have you got for us in Said by Sia?
Well, human beings, I have to say, you amaze and surprise me in the best way possible sometimes, hey?
Tell me.
There is a disabled woman who has now been inundated with dinner offers after appealing for company on Facebook because she was lonely. So she wrote on the Brighton Sunday Roast Club page, and her name is Pat O'Byrne, and she told other local residents, "I'm disabled, I love roast dinners, but I live on my own, I have no car, I'm very lonely, but have not got a big appetite." So it's actually kind of sad when you think about this lady who has now been, you know, shunned just because of her disability in 2017, Nochal, and she actually had to resort to social media to ask for company.
So what do people do?
Yeah, it wasn't long before people actually began to send her kind messages. These are absolute strangers, with many actually offering to take Pat out to dinner or inviting her to their family homes. So a Brighton-based businessman, Michael, recently tweeted a series of these responses, actually, and that tweet has more than 15,000 likes. So the likes of a woman who said, "Hi Pat, you'd be welcome round ours for a roast, as long as you don't mind sharing the table with a cheeky toddler, and we could pick you up." Another couple added, "We would love to accompany you for a roast, and would be very happy to pick you up and take you home. We can go anywhere you like, so lots of places do half-size portions for smaller appetites, so no worries there." Many other local restaurants have also commented on the post, offering to host Pat and her guests for free. Look at that. You know, Human beings, you guys are really actually nice. The Brighton Sunday Roast Club page on Facebook was originally set up for locals to share details of places to find good food or recommendations. But one of the admins who manages the page says she's happy that the purpose of the page has actually evolved. She says, I was delighted by the response to Pat's piece, but not that surprised, she said. By and large, we have very nice members who are engaged in the community, hence their interest in where's good locally to go. I love that a page about roast can also make someone feel connected to others. So Pat's post, actually, interestingly enough, follows research done by a disability charity called Sense earlier this year, which showed that 1 in 4 people avoid conversations with disabled people.
Yeah, that's something that's always bothered me. Mm. Like, you know, we love to get people in here who have, you know, interesting life stories, regardless of what their physical condition is. And I talk to them like I would to anyone else. But yeah. You remember we were talking to a dude, Sivan Gesi's friend, not so long ago.
Alex Stone.
And Alex is saying to us, people just don't, they get so awkward and uncomfortable around people in wheelchairs and people who have physical disabilities that they actually don't know how to talk to them. Mm. They talk to them like children.
It's just so, sure. It's bad. So this research even has deemed that, you know, a lot of disabled people suffer from epidemic levels of loneliness. So it's amazing that these people have banded together and they're, you know, responded in kind to Pat. So look at you, Pat, going out for dinners now with your newfound community members. I like this. Right. And see what happens when we listen to Diana Ross, when we reach out and touch somebody. Okay, sorry, never mind. That's your set by Sia for this
Sia,
morning.
You love that song. Why? Also because it used to be Oprah's theme song. You remember?
Reach out and touch.
All right, calm down. Please.
Okay, I'm done for the
All time. Right, when we come back, we'll check in on the news with Mubs and plenty more. Take your thoughts, your calls. No Rich Mulholland this morning, but we've got some other interesting things to keep you entertained and busy on your way into work today. It's Monday, the 16th of October.
This is CliffCentral.com.